Pain in Our Head podcast contains themes of coarse language, adult themes, and the discussion of mental health themes. Some content may be emotionally challenging. If you or someone you know is at risk, please visit the description for mental health and suicide prevention contacts. Enjoy the show. What's going on, everyone?
Howdy.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Pain in Our Head podcast. We're back again. Episode 27.
Yes, he's back. Back again.
I still haven't finished
Caleb's
that.
Caleb's back. Tell a friend.
Yeah, still haven't gone back and finished that Eminem album. Need to do that. Yeah. Like have you listened to it?
Fancy pants.
Dance. Let's have a dance. Welcome to this week's episode. This week we are finally speaking about BPD.
So... Big penis disorder. Oh, shit.
Damn it, you stole my joke.
Yes.
Yes.
Dude, we are fucking on the same page way too much lately. Like, we have spent too much time communicating.
Yeah, this week we have been. A little bit scary. Yeah.
Like, for the listeners, like, you've got no idea, like, how often Caleb messages me or I message Caleb. And, like, that's a story in itself. But, the amount of times that, like, he'll go to say something and I fucking know what he's about to say. Sometimes before he even sends a message, I'm like, oh, Caleb's going to say this. And then, boom, it's like, fuck me.
So, last night. Yeah. Last night's a good example. So what did you do last night?
Went and saw Deadpool.
Yeah, good. Hey, we can talk about it now.
Yeah,
spoiler alert. If you do not want to hear any spoilers about Deadpool, skip forward, like, I don't know, 90 seconds.
Couple of minutes.
Good to a whole episode on how good it is.
Oh, my God. Like, the fucking scene where he's, like, going through, like, the montage of the Deadpools.
Oh, and yeah.
The montage of Wolverines and, like, Henry Cavill as fucking Wolverine. I was just like,
so cool, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of cameos. Yeah, the cameos were amazing. So many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you stay for the post credit scene?
Yeah. Quite funny.
No, that was sick. No, I fucking didn't even old mate being the Human Torch. I didn't see that coming.
No, look, it caught me off guard.
It set it up for like Captain America.
It did.
Yeah. And it's just like, flame on. I was just like,
It was a bit disappointing, but at the same time, it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, like but, fucking great.
But, yeah, great film. Good music. All around.
Fucking
really good music.
Just, the playlist for that whole movie was just amazing. Yeah. Like that epic version of Like a Prayer at the end, for, like the big final scene. I was rigid.
Yeah.
I was just, like, the first thing I did when I got in the car was like YouTubed it, and I was just like, hey.
So good. Yeah, really good movie. But you were messaging me before the film, and just to go back on, like, could we read each other's minds? And I don't know, I said something. I said, I hit you with, I bet you're just sitting there with your large bloody soda.
Oh, that's right. You're like, I bet you're there with your large soda. And I was just like, how the fuck does this prick know? Like,
I'm in the corner.
Oh, dude, that was my thought at first. Like, has this really? Prick, like, shown up? Like, am I about to get fucking, like, pranked here? Like, I'm really excited, but that's creepy as shit.
Yeah, just, like, flown, like, you know, 2 hours. to surprise you in a movie theater. That would be something I would do.
That would be amazing. That would be so amazing.
I would do that. It's something I would do too. Yeah. I'd dress up, though, in something random just to scare the shit out of you.
No, I wouldn't dress up. I'd just walk up behind you and just, like, grab them cheeks and whisper in your ear. Imagine that.
I didn't think you were talking about my face cheeks.
I wasn't. Like, I'd walk up behind you, two handfuls, and just whisper in your ear, like...
Squirt 11.
No. I'd grab the cheeks and just be like, welcome to Fuck! And that's how it'd go, actually. I'd fuck myself up. Like, welcome to... Fuck! Like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, that would be cool. Funny. Anyway, lots to talk about this week, obviously. We're going to talk about BBC, as we've already discussed. And there's a heap of different music I want to talk about today. Too. Yeah, there's a heap of different stuff. So crack on. Let's maybe I should crack ask, on. I should ask the questions. You're the expert here. So I'll let you lead this. Fill us all in. What is BPD?
Already touched on that. It's big penis disorder. BPD is borderline personality disorder. So it means my head's fucked.
Yeah, good. That's it. End of episode.
Yep, that's it. End of episode. Bye-bye. We're done.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. No, BPD is fucked. It changes everything about the way you think and perceive things. For someone with BPD, everything is quite black and white at times. There's no middle ground to a lot of situations, especially like friendships and relationships. So they just want to be friends, or they're having a rough day. It's either they love me or they fucking hate me. it's really hard to like overcome that, but that's how it is.
That's a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a very big part of it.
It's a lot more common than I thought. Like,
yeah.
Healthdirect.gov, they're saying that 1 in 100 adults live with BPD.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more common than you would think. So that's, crazy.
Yeah, BPD is hard to get a diagnosis for because for a long time, sorry, I'm trying to put my phone on silent. But for a long time, they didn't like diagnosing people with BPD because it can be quite negative towards the person who's being diagnosed. Like, there's a lot of stigma around BPD in society and in hospitals. I got stories about that. We'll go into that later. So for someone to get a BPD diagnosis, it can be quite like taxing. You know, like, to find out you have BPD, it's like, fuck, my life's over. It's not over. You can put BPD into remission, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of time.
Yeah.
I've come close, I think, a couple of times of, you know, not quite qualifying for BPD, but generally I just slide back into full-blown BPD.
So what are the qualifications then? What do those sort of things look like, and what do you actually need?
Qualifications.
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Hey? It's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So there's 9 criteria for BPD.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you?
No. But like, go on. I'm
to you before.
No, like, probably.
Previously, but
I'm okay. I'm interested.
Okay, so there's a criteria, like checklist, I guess, for BPD, and there's 9 like criteria, and to qualify for a BPD diagnosis, you need to have like a pattern of 5 of the criteria, like kind of consistently showing through.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read them out because it explains it a little bit better than what I can do off the top of my head. So the first one is frantic efforts to avoid real or imagined abandonment. So for someone with BPD, it's quite easy for us to think that people don't fucking like us. And even if they're not showing any real signs about it, it could just be that they were too busy to respond to a message that you've sent. They've left you on read for 20 minutes and you're like, fuck, they hate me. What have I done wrong? So you try really, really fucking hard to like cling on to your friends and relationships and family and all that sort of stuff because you're fucking terrified that people are just going to abandon you at the drop of a hat. Then we move on to a pattern of unstable and intense interpersonal relationships characterized by alternating between extremes of idealization and devaluation. So for that one, that comes back to the whole like black and white kind of love-hate thing. There's no real middle ground and it can flow between the two, which is where your favorite person kind of comes in as well. People with BPD tend to have a favorite person, where you might make a new friendship and that new friendship becomes your everything for the next month or two. And then suddenly it's not, it's that quick. Like you'll message that person every day, all the fucking time for like a month or two. And then all of a sudden you just lose interest and they're no longer your favorite person. So you just stop. So they go from up here to fucking down here.
Yeah, right, okay.
Which obviously hasn't happened with you because it's been like fucking years now and I still message you. We just keep messaging more and more and more.
I pass the test.
yeah. Okay. So then we move on to identity disturbance, markedly and persistently unstable self-image or sense of self. And that kind of looks like not really knowing who you are or what you stand for, what makes you happy. Just really not understanding like what makes you you and not putting like value on who you are as a person. It's like I guess you kind of get lost. So you're like, well, who am I? What do I like? What do I like doing? So you kind of fall for making other people happy.
Yeah.
And doing what other people are doing to fit in. Which we've spoken about.
Yeah. Well, actually, that kind of just, as you were saying that, I kind of thought, you know, that's a common, like these symptoms are quite common to have with people going through mental health problems. So it's interesting to know that, you kind of got to tick, you know, all these sort of like, you know, criteria, as you called them, to be able to be diagnosed, where, you know, a lot of people probably have like maybe one or two that, you know, they might struggle with. So it's really interesting how, like, because like you said, we've talked about these sort of things before, you know, so the symptoms aren't, I guess the word I'm looking for is they're not unknown. Like they're quite common symptoms of just other mental health issues as well. So it's really cool.
Yeah, well, it's like good. You know, a lot of these criteria, I guess, for all mental illnesses kind of look like a Venn diagram, essentially.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've got a couple of these ones, so you've probably got this. So it's like these ones are grouped together, so you got that. Like they all share very similar patterns.
Mm.
It's finding out which one you've actually got. Then we've got the fourth criteria is impulsivity in at least two areas that are potentially self-damaging. So that would be like examples they've listed are spending, money, sex, substance abuse, reckless driving, binge eating, doesn't include suicidal or self-mutilating behavior, though. They come under another part.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess it kind of like I've been there with most of these. Like, you want to make yourself feel good, so you just recklessly throw yourself into stupid things. Like, you know, like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy $1,000 worth of clothes because it's going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go hook up with a random person and not use protection because I'm going to feel good about myself at the time. Mm. Reckless driving, obviously been there, you know, belting along at 260 on my motorbike because fuck it, why not? YOLO, I don't care.
Okay, I'll cut you off there. At work the other day, at where our loading dock is, I rocked up to work the other day and there's skid marks. Someone was doing donuts in the loading area.
Nice.
Like, and like good ones too. Like, I wanted to be like, what a dickhead, but well done. Like, you did a good job. It's a perfect fucking circle. Sorry to cut you off, but it just reminded me of that. Oh, that was pretty funny. But what a place to go and do donuts.
Go back through the the video surveillance. Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
No, you're right. And then, but number five, I guess we'll put a trigger warning out on this one if you're overly sensitive to dark topics. This next criteria involves it, so I think you can understand where this is going. Stop watching, skip forward a couple of minutes. Number five criteria is recurrent suicidal behaviors, gestures, threats, or self-mutilating behavior. So I don't think we particularly need to go into explaining what that is. It's very fucking self-explanatory. I personally, it was said to me that like my baseline kind of level is suicidal. So for me personally, if something starts to go wrong, that's my first thought is, oh, you know what, fuck it, I don't care, I can just, not a problem anymore. Which I can't really help that. That's just how my brain works. Obviously I don't act on it. It's just, you know, which is why I've been diagnosed with BPD. It's just how my brain works.
Yeah.
Like, apparently it's not normal for people to have those thoughts at the slightest inconvenience. Like, oh, fuck it.
So you've been told.
Which is also why it makes it so fucking hard to live with BPD, like having those thoughts constantly over the smallest or largest of things. It's fucking tiring.
Mm.
You know, Caleb's been there for it with me. Like, you know, he's copped those messages multiple times. Like, yeah, I feel like this and I want to do this. And he's like, right, let's talk about it. So I think it's gotten to the point where it's just like oh, it's that time of the week again, is it?
Oh, look, right on time. Good. Yeah, awesome. So there's a fair chunk there. Like, that's a fair whack to have to be, like, you know, you have to be ticking all those criteria. Well, not all of them. You said five,
isn't
it?
Five. There's still four to go.
Yeah. So, like, if it's all those five, there's a good chance you'd be diagnosed. But yes, continue. Yeah, what are the...
Even just looking at the first five that we've spoken about, like fear of abandonment, unstable or intense friendships, relationships. I just lost my monitor. Fuck. Sorry.
He's back.
My monitor just fucking turned off. Okay. Fear of abandonment, unstable or intense friendships, relationships, blah, blah, blah. Identity disturbance, not knowing who you are, what you stand for, and what makes you. Impulsive actions, and then recurrent naughty thoughts and bad behaviors. Just those five combined, like, that's not even a whole list. Like, just living with those five things. Like, imagine that fucking shit, dealing with that every day. Move on to the sixth one. Affective instability due to a marked reactivity of mood. Which examples are intense episodic dysphoria, irritability, or anxiety, usually lasting a few hours and only rarely more than a few days. So that's like your whole moods just being completely unstable and irrational.
Yep.
You could just feel really fucking sad for no reason. You could feel really fucking happy for no reason. Anxious, depressed, like you just...
cycle.
You cop it real fucking hard. It's like... because we feel shit more.
Like yeah, the intensity.
Yeah, yeah. The intensity that we feel emotions and thoughts is completely blown out of proportion to what a normal, healthy person feels.
Yes. Okay.
Like, you know, when I went through a breakup and I was messaging you, like, trying to explain to you, like, how much it actually hurts. Like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, it's just a breakup. Like, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Like, you'll move on. You'll get over it. It's like, yeah, I know. But at the time, it feels like I need to, like, rip my heart out of my chest because it fucking hurts. And all I can think about is, like, how my world is, like, crumbling around me. Like, it's intense. Then we got number 7, which is chronic feelings of emptiness, which is probably the hardest fucking thing for me to deal with.
Really?
So
talk me through that. What do you think it means then by that, by the feeling of emptiness?
All right. So essentially, like, I'll use myself as an example here. It's fucking the easiest one again, obviously, for me.
Just use Jim. Or Keegan.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, chronic feeling of emptiness has been like, you always feel like something's missing inside. Like you just don't get that fulfillment that everyone else seems to get when you achieve something. So for me, it was like for years and years, it was a constant cycle of, okay, I've achieved this, so what can I do next? Because I didn't get that satisfaction. The void inside hasn't been filled. For me, it was, I'll finish high school, I get a job. Got a job. Didn't feel it. It's like, okay, when I get a girlfriend, that void will be filled. Got a girlfriend. The void still wasn't filled. It's like, okay, well, when I get a real relationship and I'm married, it wasn't filled. It's like, when I have kids, still wasn't filled. Like, just you feel like something's missing. Like, you just... you just feel empty. Like you feel broken. Like there's just something wrong inside of you. Like you just...
it's like a dissatisfaction, a feeling of dissatisfaction. It's like a very intense feeling of being dissatisfied.
Pretty much, yeah.
Without the fault, like obviously because it's not something that can be controlled from like what you've been... saying,
yeah,
and you know, in regards to the symptoms, so okay, well, cool. It's just that I got a good understanding of that, and just so listeners as well had a good understanding of what that one meant.
That one was the hardest for me because when I was diagnosed with BPD, the person that I had to go and see, after my diagnosis was actually fucking horrible. One of the worst mental health professionals I've ever come across. And I've spoken to other mental health professionals since then and explained like how the whole experience was for me. And they were like, dude, I'm so fucking sorry you had to go through that.
Oh, wow.
Because he was just shit. He was absolutely shit at his job and really made the situation a lot fucking worse than it had to be. Like, it was already hard enough being like, oh, look, you got BPD, like, have fun. It was like, like, and the whole, you know, I expressly like explained to him the whole chronic feelings of emptiness for me was quite a hard thing to deal with. Like, I dealt with it for so fucking long and it was just really painful. And he was like, well, you know, get used to it. Like, you're with it, it's with you for life now. And I was just like, what?
Oh, yeah, nice.
He's like, yeah, that never goes away. Like, you just got to learn to live with it. And I legitimately went home and was like, fucking, on the way home, like, I was planning out what I was going to do to myself. I was like, nah, fuck this. I'm not living with this. Like, that's how bad this guy was at his job.
Yeah, shit.
So.
Hey, well, that's a big one. Okay. So, eight?
Number eight.
Number eight.
This is a fun one. This is actually the one criteria that I don't struggle with anymore. So I'll grade myself after. Inappropriate, intense anger, difficulty controlling anger, frequent displays of temper, constant anger, recurrent physical fights.
Right. So I'm sorry, I laughed because I didn't realize it was going to be anger after the inappropriate. I just heard the inappropriate and I was like, what do you fucking mean you're not inappropriate? You're the most inappropriate person I know. But now that you put anger after it, I get it now. Yep. So
yeah.
Never mind. Yes, okay.
No. So that one's another one you don't really need to explain too much, but like you need to understand, like I was saying before, the people with BPD experience and feel emotions way more intensely than normal people. So like an inappropriate, intense anger would be someone cancelled plans on you. You're going to go see someone in the day, they cancel. And you just want to fucking blow up. Absolutely blow up. And they might have a legitimate reason for, it's like, you know, they feel sick and they can't hang out with you. And it's like, all you want to do is just like blow up and let them know how fucking angry you are that they've changed plans and all this. It's just, it's brutal. And it used to be something I would absolutely struggle with. The frequent displays of temper, the constant anger, and the recurrent physical fights, like all three of those, I was like the fucking poster child for that shit. And I'm not anymore. I'm really fucking chill. Like, I just don't let myself get that angry. I try not to let things bother me anymore.
And you went and listened to episode 2 of the podcast, and that helped. That helped with your anger. I thought so.
Yeah, it's not like I knew what I was talking about before we recorded that episode. Not like I've been a chilled person for a few years now. Number awesome. 9.
Lucky number 9.
Transient stress-related paranoid ideation or severe dissociative symptoms.
That's a big one.
A lot of big words.
There's a lot of big words in that.
A lot of big words in that one. So, just disassociating a lot, I guess, essentially, in the stress-related paranoid ideation. Thinking that everyone's out to get you, which I fucking struggle with all the time. All the fucking time. I always think that someone's out to get me. Like, and like, we're not talking, it doesn't always have to be like in your head. Like, it could be as simple as you're at work and you're worried that if you don't do a good enough job, that the boss is just waiting to fucking come down here like a ton of bricks. They're just waiting for you to slip up, like just thinking the worst of people all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like, you know, crackpot kind of like the government's out to get me, they're spraying the water with chemicals. Ooh, it's not, that does happen. That those thoughts do happen with some people. generally, that's quite that usually ties in with like schizophrenia or like someone that's showing intense paranoia. But that also can happen. The people can have those thoughts that, you know, the government are fucking reptiles and they're trying to control their brain.
Yep. Do all their aliens. What was I watched a movie or a TV series the other day?
You saw the trailer for the new next Alien movie? That looked really fucking good.
I haven't watched the trailer yet, but I did see it.
I was watching the Deadpool one. I was just like,
oh, really?
Oh, it looked really fucking good.
What did they put on for us? I had, Borderlands, which I'm so excited for.
I didn't think it was that exciting. Like, I was, I loved the first game, but the movie just doesn't look like it's going to be any good.
It probably won't be. I think I'm more hoping that it's going to be really good just because I love the game so much. But yeah.
So that's the 9 criteria to be diagnosed for BPD, and you need to have 5 of those. For me, I guess to like grade myself at the moment, I would be ticking off six, seven.
So say, you know, say you did go and see someone about this. I take it that's usually the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you've got these symptoms, you want to get it sorted out, you go see a doctor or you go see someone about it. Say, you get told, all right, you tick 5 of these criteria, I'm going to diagnose you with BPD. You know, here's some things that can help you work on it, blah, 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 blah. 6 months down the track, you go back and now you're ticking 4 of the criteria. Is it? It's not just like, okay, congratulations, you're cured. You only have 4 out of the 9. Like it's not a thing anymore. I take it that's not the case.
No, so that's where the whole remission thing comes into play, what I was talking about before.
Yeah.
So, like, you can put your BPD into remission. Like, technically, you're not ever going to be, like, cured of BPD because anything can set you off and put you back into having all fucking 9 criteria ticked in the matter of minutes. But you can lessen the severity of a lot of those criteria, or you may, like me, for example, with I used to have massive anger problems. Now I just don't. So, you know, you can work on certain things and develop like coping mechanisms and ways to like retrain your thought patterns, which I think the biggest thing that they recommend for people with BPD is to do DBT. I don't remember the acronym for it. Dialectical behavior therapy. It's cognitive behavior therapy or talking therapy.
Okay.
It's designed for people with borderline personality or who have difficulty controlling their emotions.
Right.
So that's one of the big things that they recommend that you do. Mm-hmm. So actually, we haven't actually brought this up yet, but there's no medications to help with BPD. There's no like chemical fix. Even though we've got, I've got a fucking massive headache coming on. It's killing me. Even though we've got like our chemical balance in our brain's different. So we do come under like neurodivergent umbrella terms. Like technically I'm neurospicy, I guess, which is like your autism and like ADHD and all that sort of shit. But there's no medication for it. You can go on medication to help with symptoms of it, like as we've explained before in other episodes. There's certain things that become a symptom of the like the diagnosis. So with me, with having BPD, you generally also get stuck with MDD or anxiety, MDD being major depressive disorder or just flat depression. MDD is like more intense depression, essentially, which is what I've got. I got MDD as well as BPD. So you can be given medication to help with the other things that are part of having the BPD. So, like, you know, you're going on anti-anxiety medication or antidepressants just to help lessen some of the mental load that you're copping, I guess, because it fucking sucks. Like, trying to deal with BPD as well as being depressed and having anxiety, it's like it just makes it more fucking hard to deal with. So they put you on medication just to help so you can approach it a little bit more clear-headed.
Ease the load.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, cool. That's really good. That's good that there's, I guess, something in place, you know, so that there is something that can potentially help. As you said, there's no real cure. It's not like it's going to be cured, but there are some things out there that can help if you are struggling with BPD. It's really cool. Do you ever have anyone will get confused with like BPD and bipolar?
Yeah, all the fucking time.
Yeah, I thought
all the fucking time. It's like, oh, I got BPD. Like, oh yeah, bipolar. It's like, no, I don't have bipolar. They're different.
Yeah, very different, aren't they?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as very different. Very similar.
Very similar. Yes, I guess so. But in terms of like,
but yeah, still different. Yeah. Still
quite different. Yeah.
There's also, like I said before, too, like there's a lot of stigma around people with BPD. I was visiting a friend who had been readmitted to hospital. They'd made an attempt on themselves, gotten out, and then within like 2 weeks, tried again and were put straight back into hospital. And literally sitting in the hospital room with this person, two nurses outside the fucking door going, oh, yeah, no, they just got BPD. Like, they're just wasting a bed. We could have someone actually in there who needs that bed. And it's like, thanks, buddy. Like, can clearly hear what you're saying. Like, pretty good job.
Pretty dismissive.
Yeah.
That's going to really help those symptoms of thinking people are out to get you.
Yep. And that's a problem that there still is. Like, this was only recently too. Like, this was like a year ago that happened.
Yeah, right. Yep.
And it's like, even with all the leaps and bounds that have been made in regards to BPD, it's still a fucking big problem. And like, people seem to think too that people with BPD are really hard to get along with or be in a relationship with, because there are people out there who don't work on the BPD or they're untreated or undiagnosed, and they can be really fucking hard to deal with. Like, you know, you think back to the 9 criteria that I've listed off, and you imagine living with someone that's got like the majority of those criteria and has done nothing at all to work on it. Like, you know, that would be a very hard person to be in a relationship with or a friendship with. Like, they're constantly thinking that they either love or hate you. They are aggressive as fuck. They impulsive, reckless, they're low. It's like, there's just, so when someone says they've got borderline personality disorder, like, people are just, a lot of people are just like, ooh, no, that's a lot to take on. So I usually don't reveal it straight away. And when I do reveal it, I've given them enough time to be like, okay, yeah, this person's quite well adjusted. And it's like, when I do say, look, I've got BPD, I've spent a lot of time learning about it. I've spent a lot of time like working on it.
Yeah. Nothing, like, oh, okay. Nothing to be scared about, really.
No,
but
no.
You shouldn't, like, I'm just taking it from, you know, I guess my side or my perspective. You know, if you do come into contact with somebody with BPD and they let you know that, it's not something to, be afraid of, you know. It's just a matter of understanding. The, actually, you know, the more you show your understanding towards it the better the outcome will most likely be. Because I can imagine as soon as you get hit with the, oh yeah, shit, BPD, like I don't want anything to do with you, you know, I bet that just spirals, you know, even further backwards the other way. So, and we've talked about that a lot in many different mental health things that we've, or topics that we've talked about, how pushing away is never the answer in most circumstances. So, but I'd love to hear it though too. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, if you've been in contact or you've had experience with BPD and you'd like to share, we do have an email. So, you know, if you feel like you wanted to share an email instead of putting it all over, you know, the YouTube page or in comments and things like that, send us an email if you want to get in touch. I think it's paininourheadpodcast@gmail.com. It is listed in the description as well. So, yeah, feel free to do so.
Have you got any questions for me?
No, I don't. I'm thoroughly educated. That was a really good round off of an overview of BPD. And I think it's definitely something we want to hit later on down the track as well. Like, you know, maybe go further into, you know, symptoms and things like that. Yes, you forgot?
Of course it's BPD.
Yes, I know it did kind of... You kind of missed kind of that part, but I wasn't sure whether or not if we went into that, we'd be here forever.
Well, quickly knuckle but, that out. It's
all right, go for they, it.
They used to think it was trauma related.
Yeah. That
BPD was brought on by like a significant traumatic event during your childhood or teenage years you didn't quite process, and then it's changed the way that your brain's developed, and then ta-da, BPD.
Yeah.
But they've come to realize that it's now like a split between genetic disposition or traumatic experience. So you may find that someone in your history has BPD and they passed it on to you.
Right. Okay, cool.
So some people can be born with the right makeup for BPD.
Might not just develop until later on in life, late teens and early adult life. Yeah, okay.
So for me, I couldn't really tell you. I think mine's equally split between the two. I have a genetic, you know, disposition towards it. Like looking back at family members, it's a strong fucking possibility that I was just born with the right fucking shit for it. But then also looking at my formative years and like my development, how my childhood looked and my teenage years looked, like it's not a fucking surprise. Like when I got diagnosed and I was, you know, they asked you just random questions. I had no idea I was being fucking diagnosed. They were just asking me like what my childhood looked like, what my high school years looked like, what my adult years looked like. And I was just like, oh yeah. He's like blah, 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 blah. And they're like, BPD, bitch. Fuck. What's BPD?
Help.
So, but yeah. So that's what makes someone have BPD, I guess. And you just
probably why it's so common too now, like, you know, I said 1 in 100 adults generally have BPD, so that's crazy.
Yes, I am, apparently.
You're like, crazy. You're like 1 in 100.
No, I meant crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
All right, word from our fucking sponsors. My head's killing me. I need to go take Panadol before we go into music.
The Pain in Our Head podcast is proudly sponsored by Music Magic Co. and Brisbane rock band The Flying Circus. Visit the links in the podcast description for more information. Back to the show.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Pain in Our Head podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. We were chatting about BPD. Christian gave us some great insight as to what it's like living with BPD and some of the things and some of the things that come along with it. We talked about what it means to get diagnosed and briefly mentioned some things that can be done to help as well. So Really cool. Really enjoyed it. Definitely something we're going to revisit because it's such a big, big thing to cover. Such a big, important topic to cover, as you said, as quite swept under the bus. And
Yeah, well, that's how I started my TikTok videos, was originally doing TikTok videos on BPD.
Yeah.
I think there's a fair few there where I go through like each individual like symptom or criteria for BPD, and they end up being like 10-minute long fucking videos each one. So yeah, if we went really into BPD, we'd be there for a fucking long time, and it'd be like a 2 or 3 part episode. We're not doing that. We'll come back to it later on and go a bit more in depth into it. See how this one goes. If people want to hear more about BPD, leave us a message, send an email, all that shit. Reach out on any of our social media platforms and we'll get right on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go have a look at Christian's videos. It's me spoon 89 on TikTok. Yeah.
We have a TikTok now.
With that being said, we finally have a TikTok for the podcast. So jump on, follow that. I don't really know how TikTok works. I'm still figuring it out. So I don't know. Go and follow. I don't know. Look at the page. So exciting. More stuff will be going up on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all that sort of stuff. So,
yep.
Exciting. On the break, a video by Drumeo popped up that I watched. I'm a big fan of Drumeo.
Me too. Yeah.
Awesome.
Such a good idea. Like the concept behind it.
Well, they do lots of different things too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Which is really awesome. Like they grew. Like I think it started out really small as just like a way of being able to teach drums online and, you know, like supplying like learning packages for people who want to learn how to play drums. My in-ears, like my in-ear monitors that I use when I'm drumming on stage, they're Drumeo in-ear monitors. I bought them from the US and had them shipped over. They're awesome too, by the way. Really, really good. If there are.
Drummer doesn't use them, so fuck whatever.
He's probably deaf. That's why I got them, because I was going to go deaf. So, yeah. But anyway, I was listening to this Drumeo video, which only came out 15 hours ago, and they've got Chad Smith. He's done a lot of different videos. They're pretty well known for getting, I guess, high-profiled or well-known drummers come on and do a video, maybe playing one of their songs or listening to a song they've never heard before, like they just did with Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he listened to Bring Me the Horizon's Can You Feel My Heart? Is that the name of the song? Yep. He listened to that for the first time, wasn't told what the song was or who it was by, and had a crack, like a first take at drumming along to it. And it was really good. It was really good. I think he did a really good job. So it's always hard listening to a song.
For people that don't understand what Caleb's talking about, by the way, they mute the drum track.
Yes.
So the drummer has, like, you know, the monitors in there. Like, well, they're just earbuds, like, essentially. So they're listening to the track. Yeah. Whatever. For the non-musical people, they've got earphones in and they're listening to a song where the drum track's been removed. So, and then they make up their own interpretation of how the drums should go to that song. So it's really fucking cool to hear like songs that you know and love, than hearing a completely different drummer do their take on it. Like the chick that did the Slipknot Before I Forget, that was great.
Awesome.
That little young girl, she's like, what, fucking 11, 12?
Yep.
And she did When I'm Gonna Take Twisted Sister, absolutely fucking nailed the shit out of that.
Yeah. Awesome. Some awesome stuff on there. So really cool. Yeah. Pulls the drummer out of their comfort zone, especially if they're completely different genres. And Red Hot Chili Peppers and Bring Me the Horizon, very two different genres or styles.
What about, what was the song they got Phil Collins' son to do? I'm pretty sure it was a metal song as well, wasn't
it? Yeah. I think so. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, go check out Drumeo if you're interested in drums and shit like that, like I am, or you're just into your music. go check out Drumeo. They got some cool shit. Anyway, have you got a something you'd like to talk about this week in terms of music wise?
I did, and I forgot it.
Okay.
But then also after seeing Deadpool last night, Like a Prayer by Madonna.
It's a good song.
I love that song, man. But at the end when they do like that big epic version with the orchestra and the choir, turns a really, really good song into an absolute epic fucking experience. Like, I could listen to that shit on repeat. And probably will after we record, because fuck yes, it's so good. Like, my mum loves Madonna and Dolly Parton and all that sort of shit.
Yep.
So, like, I grew up on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, Jolene by Dolly Parton, fuck yeah.
Oh, song. Good song. Yeah.
Mm.
Written by, shit. I should know this. It wasn't written by Dolly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Ah, fuck! It's gonna kill me. I couldn't
believe
it.
Miley Cyrus did a cover of Jolene, and it's good.
Yeah. I've heard that one.
And she also did a cover of "Like a Prayer," which is also really fucking good.
"Like a Prayer," yep.
So, yeah. We're going to add Madonna's Like a Prayer to the fucking Spotify playlist
because
it's an absolute banger of a track.
Absolutely. I need to update the playlist. That needs to be done this weekend. I will be updating the playlist. I think I've said that for like 4 weeks in a row now. But yeah, I've got to go back through a fair chunk of episodes and put some more music onto it.
But as far as like, wait a fucking minute. Oh, dude.
Is something happening in real time? What? Yeah. Really? What's just coming out?
Light It Up by The Offspring.
Get Fucked.
New track off the new album.
Oh, Get Fucked.
I just opened up iTunes and it's come up as,
Oh, yeah, wow. It is too. It's out. Yep. 2nd of August. 3rd of August here, but 2nd of August there. I will be listening to that as soon as we finish doing this. Oh, yep. I'm so excited. I think we mentioned a few weeks ago, but The Offspring have a new album coming out. And I tell you what, if they tour, we're going. I regret that I did not go and see them
and see the shit out of that
8 years ago or something. I had the tickets. I had them online. I was going to purchase them. And I was like, you know what? No, I should save the money. I don't need to spend the money. Regret. I should have gone and seen them. So if they do ever come back to Australia, I'm going to see them because, fuck me.
Yeah, I was like with me with Lorna Shore. I was like, oh, do I want to pay for the ticket? Do I want to pay for the ticket? And then I finally decided, I'm going to get a ticket. And then they sold out. And I'm like, fuck.
That's what worries me.
I've got Parkway Drive tickets at the moment. I got a ticket to go see Parkway Drive and it's Mosh Pit.
Yeah, wow.
And I'm like, fuck yeah. But then I'm also like, I don't want to go by myself. but someone that I've started chatting to, I think they're going.
So nice.
I might tag along with them and be like, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah, nice. Oh, cool. Well, definitely going to give that a listen.
That's exciting.
That's
a first. We discovered something brand new while recording.
During recording. That's crazy. Ooh. I can't believe that. I forgot my. I'm so excited. I forgot my train of thought. I completely forgot. Like, all I want to do is just go listen to this now. It's all like, I'm fixated on it. Anyway, it looks cool. I love the cover art for it that they've got too. Big skeleton with the lightning bolts coming out of him.
They've got an official visualizer for it, and it's like, it looks like 3D animated kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
There's an official lyric video as well.
Fuck yeah, nice. Awesome. I haven't been listening to too much else. The new Bad Flower stuff is growing on me. Yeah, it's growing on me. I like it a lot better than what I did last week, so I'm happy about that. Sometimes songs you listen to, they take, you know, take a little while to grow on you, but
yeah
I get that sometimes. Yeah, but they're growing on me. I was going to bring up Breaking Benjamin. I haven't spoken about Breaking Benjamin on the podcast before, and I love Breaking Benjamin. Really, really, really do. I think, I'm having a brain fart here. He's got an amazing voice. I should know his name too. Amazing voice. I just think his voice is unbelievable. Benjamin Burnley. I couldn't think of his last name, but BB. But I think he's got a great voice, but I love a lot of their music. Yeah, they've got heaps of songs. Like, I could rattle off a heap. A common one that a lot of people have probably heard is The Diary of Jane. That's like down the bottom of the list for me. Like, it's good, but they've got a heap more, much more enjoyable songs. But I love the production. Could be like, it's not as heavy as what I would like it to be, but it's a kind of, it's a good mix of not being too metal. So, yeah, great. But So Cold, that is up there with like my top 10 songs of all time. Yeah, So Cold by Breaking Benjamin. The Aurora version, they released an album in 2020, and it was just like acoustic covers of a lot of their different songs. And what they also did was brought on a heap of different artists to help sing or help perform that acoustic song as well. So really, really cool versions. So the Aurora version's cool, but the original's also awesome. So great band. I found them.
Not really given them much time.
Have you? Oh gosh, yeah. What should I tell you to go listen to? Well, Blow Me Away is from the Halo 2 soundtrack. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good one. I Will Not Bow, Failure, Breathe, Dance with the Devil. They're all really, really good songs. Really, really good songs. And obviously, yeah, So Cold, Angels Fall. Like, the list just goes on for me. I'm a really big fan. I actually came across them while listening on Pandora. Do you remember Pandora? It's still a thing, but just not over here, not in Australia. It doesn't happen over in Australia anymore. Yeah, weird. Anyway, but when I found Seether, I also found Breaking Benjamin at the same time. Yeah, because they were in like a shuffle together, because I guess they were in the same sort of style. So, yeah. Anyway, that's my music spiel. Thanks for coming.
Let's fucking can it, because I'm going to go listen to The Offspring. Yeah. Fuck you guys, we're out.
Yeah. So we're going to go listen to the new Offspring song. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Next week, we're going to talk about romanticizing mental health and probably make it a little bit more bubblier than what this week has been, because it's been quite a serious talk this week. So it's been good. But next week, there's going to be a lot more shit talk. We're going to talk about romanticizing mental health. So
wait a fucking minute.
What have you missed? We've forgotten something.
We didn't talk about the shit talk that we agreed upon.
Oh, yeah, because you went and saw the movie last night and I hit you with one of those that was funny. That was funny. Well,
if you've made it, this far along the podcast, like, no, I don't think you were.
What? I was.
No, I think you're a grub. I honestly believe you would. You're a fucking drummer. You take your shoes off at any chance you get.
I drum with my shoes on.
Yeah, sure you do.
I hate taking my shoes off.
So I sent Caleb a picture that I was at the movie cinema. I had my foot up on the chair because it was like a dead cinema. There was like only people behind us. There was no one in front of us. There was fuck all people. So I had my foot up, resting my legs out. He's like, take your shoe off, be a man. And I was just like, I would actually punch you in the jaw if you were here and you did that. Because that's fucking disgusting. And people do it. People take their fucking shoes off at the cinema.
Yeah. And then you've got stinky
disgusting.
Feet sitting behind your head. All you can do is just smell a big toe. You look to your right, there's a fucking big toe right there.
So if you take your shoes off at the cinema, fuck you.
Yeah, we've got a gripe with
that's
you.
That's nasty.
It's rank. It makes me laugh because it's so funny how much Christian gets upset by it.
Oh, it's so gross.
What about if you're in like a what do you call them, like the other sort of cinemas, like not the ones where there's like seats and like right behind each other. If you're in like a
Like gold class?
Yeah, like gold class or like one of those sort of ones.
The one? No.
No? Okay. What about...
Because I'm eating fucking food. If some, like, because when you go to gold class, they bring out like meals and shit for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the fancy version of going to the cinemas. So if you're going to be fancy and then take your fucking shoes off, fucking get out of here.
We're wearing thongs to a cinema.
No. Because it just gives them more fucking incentive. They're like, I'm going to take my thongs off now. Just slip them off. And
flick them off.
Yeah, fuck off. Get out of here.
Very Australian thing to do, I think.
Fuck off.
I hope next time you go, someone's behind you and they do it. And I hope they And I hope they haven't clipped their toenails.
That intense, irrational anger. That box will be chipped like a motherfucker.
You'll be seeing red.
Oh,
God. Oh, that's great.
Fucking good song too, Architect Seeing Red.
Oh, yeah, that is a good song. That is a really good song. That came up for me the other day. Yeah, nice.
Anyway, wanted to have a bit of a piss and moan. Yeah. Let's fucking get out of here.
Hilarious. All right, have a good week. Catch you next week. It's okay to not be okay.
Bye. I'm weak to speak.